Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio with me today as we once again cover a terrorist event, a violent event in the state of Texas this time. Violence is on the increase, at least terrorist violence is on the increase in America. Mass shootings on the increase, much more than we experienced in the 1960s and 1970s, and that's a shift. It's not as if the murder rate is any higher than it was in the 1980s. However, these events that are shaking the nation have increased, and we read from Amos 3 and verse 6, "When a trumpet sounds in a city, do not the people tremble? When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it?" That is, God is in absolute sovereign control over all events, even the evil deeds that men do, including what happened with Joseph as his brothers sold him as slave traders to Egypt. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, we read that the brothers meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So we still need to believe that God has a reason for everything that happens. Nevertheless, he will turn these things to his own glory and to the good of his church. And that needs to be a comforting message to the churches that are much concerned about the church shooting near San Antonio, Texas, in which 27 men, women, and children lost their lives. The media, Bill, said it was 26. It wasn't 26, 27, because there was an unborn child who lost his life in the shootings. So it's a very, very sad, very violent event that occurred down near San Antonio, Texas. And it occurred at the hands of a man by the name of Devin Kelly, who apparently had been somewhat involved in the church, had something of a profession, but subsequently he claimed to be an avowed atheist. And so here we have a church shooting. And I think the first thing we need to acknowledge is that this is not new. There are some 70 per year that occur in the United States. According to the faith-based security research team, 574 violent deaths in church ministries since 1999, averaging in the 60s and 70s over the last couple of 4 or 5 years. They started out about 10 per year in the 1990s, and the first verifiable church shooting occurred somewhere around 1963. So these things are on the increase, the slow but sure increase. And it is of a concern to those Christians who are participating in church. Now, we're going to contrast that with other nations and other contexts in which killings, in which violent deaths occur. And I think we have to take these things into context. But it is still the deadliest church shooting in our history. 27 people lost their lives in Texas. And just a couple of takeaways. First of all, we read in 1 Peter chapter 3, "If after they had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment." And that speaks to those who had some contact with the truth. And that's certainly the case for Devin Kelly. He had some contact with the church and some contact with the truth. He was not a member of the church, from my understanding. But his reaction against the church and against the people in the church was violent. And it appears that he took the direction of the apostate. And typically apostates are involved in very, very negative circumstances. Their lives are characterized by tremendous evil.
And that was the case with him because he was convicted by the military of not only spousal abuse and child abuse, but also he was convicted of animal abuse as well. And because of those things, he should not have been able to purchase a weapon. But because the military messed up in their record keeping and their transfer of the records to proper magistrates and officials, he was able to purchase handguns and weapons, and that's the result.
This is a very serious problem, my friends, when we see atheism or apostasy coming out of the Christian church And certainly that is the case with Karl Marx, who becomes the greatest mass murderer, at least as far as the philosophy is concerned, of anybody in history. Same thing for Stalin, whose mother wanted him to be an Orthodox priest, but turned away from the Orthodox faith and became one of the most famous atheists in Russian history. And of course, the blood on his hands is incalculable. Well, my friends, not the first time that atheists, that is Christian apostates, have killed Christians. I deal with this in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to better understand the influence of their ideas and the devastation of the ideas that that is produced by the philosophies of atheism and the philosophies of the 19th century. Atheists killing Christians, not a new thing in history, Bill.
No.
They've been doing it for at least the last 120 years. North Korean dictators confess to be atheists, friends. They confess to be atheists. The communists confess to be atheists. They're proud of their atheism. They tout their atheism. In fact, it's about the only nations in which atheism is institutionalized. That is, whenever you see a communist nation, you have to assume, well, that's the religion of atheism or post-Christian agnosticism and atheism. And that's precisely what happens in nations that embrace communism. They kill people. They've been doing it for 120 years. The North Korean dictators have killed some hundreds of thousands of Christians. Stalin and Lenin killed 15 million Christians in prison camps between 1921 and 1950. The Soviets also killed another 5 million Christians in prison camps between 1950 and 1980. And Stalin himself killed 2.7 million Orthodox Christians between 1929 and 1937. And of course, the Chinese killed a couple of hundred thousand Christians as part of the revolutions of the 1950s and 1960s. So, my friends, this idea of atheists killing Christians, not a new occurrence in the history of the world. This atheist from Texas killed 27. And that gives us something of a perspective. But we're going to add more to that perspective in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson.
Have you ever found yourself asking questions like, what am I supposed to do with my life? How do I know what God's will is for me? How will I find good opportunities and be successful in life? And what is success anyway? My name is Daniel Craig. I'm a homeschool graduate, and I've asked all those same questions myself. As I was transitioning into life beyond homeschooling, I didn't fully understand God's calling on my life or how to prepare for that calling. I wasn't opposed to going to college, but I knew I also needed godly mentorship and real-life application to prepare for life ahead. And that's why I helped create the Kickstart program, an in-depth training program designed to help other students launch into life now with clear vision through one-on-one mentoring relationships and real-life application. With a clear, step-by-step approach, the 29 Kickstart video training sessions and companion guide walks students through the process of first defining vision and goals for their lives, then finding and engaging with mentors in their community who can help them move toward those goals. So if you're not sure how to prepare for life, you can either spend $72,000 on a college education, or you can first spend $129 on a program which provides cutting-edge guidance through a proven process of life preparation that works. Now, if that sounds like a deal to you, I encourage you, get Kickstart today at generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today, Bill Jack in studio, as we consider the 27 that were sadly murdered in a church near San Antonio, Texas, over the last weekend. And friends, we need to see this in perspective, because this is not the first time that Christians have been killed by atheists or by Muslims. In fact, the martyrdoms of Christians have gone on for some 2,000 years. And Bill, I'm going to say that these are martyrdoms. These Christians were killed because they were associated with a Christian church. They were killed by an atheist. And I believe that Satan hates Christ, and he hates Christians, and he will use his minions to do his dirty work for him.
I mean, that's what he wants to do, kill, steal, and destroy.
That's right. And this idea that somehow there is no spiritual force, there is no demonic influence, is wrong. That's just a materialistic way of looking at things, friends. The Christian worldview insists that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. So whenever we ask the question, why is this man doing what he's doing when he brings about great destruction, devastation, and produces great evil in the earth, we have to remember that the whole world is in the lap of Satan. That's 1 John chapter 5. And we need to remember also that that you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So we need to remember that that when men and women are not regenerated and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, they are in the control of the prince of the power of the air. They are acting according to what Satan tells them to do. Now, again, they have their own responsibility for the things that they do. So let's not take away from them their own personal responsibility, but let's acknowledge that Satan is a force, and Satan will use his minions to do his dirty work for him. Now, of course, God is still sovereign, as we said, so if there will be persecutions, it will be under the sovereign ordination of God as well. Well, again, one of the points I want to make here, Bill, is that this is not the only time in history or the only place in history in which Christians are being killed. Sometimes I think we as Americans believe that we need to be completely protected from any evil and that we ought never to be persecuted by the forces of darkness. However, this is not the way it has been for 2,000 years. It has not been the way that the Chinese and the those Christians in Egypt and elsewhere have proceeded. Indeed, there is persecution everywhere. I was just in Mexico, and we were talking with Christians in Mexico, and it was a fairly common thing for many of them to witness, at least, the work of the cartel. And sometimes that affects Christians as well. In fact, I heard at least one or two stories of how Christians themselves had been killed by members of the cartel. So this is not unfamiliar to churches. In fact, somebody has said that at least one or two people in every church have either had a relative or a member of their church has been killed or kidnapped by the cartel. So this idea that somehow we in America are completely protected and should be protected from any kind of violence or any kind of evil like this is misconceived. Indeed, we need to be ready for persecution. We should not be taken by surprise. Peter says in this first epistle that we ought not to be surprised when we are taken up by various forms of persecution. And we go through various trials. So
Jesus said, you'll have trouble in this world, but we are to take heart because he's overcome the world.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, in perspective, friends, 70 Americans are killed in or around churches in any given year, according to the best statistics that I can find online. And then I found another site that covered the martyrdoms of Christians in the Mideast at the hands of Muslims. It's called thereligionofpeace.com, and they do the best they can to identify all of the murders going on of Christians. And apparently 62 Egyptian Christians have been killed thus far for their faith in Egypt. And this is important. Again, friends, you're looking at about the same number of people in Egypt killed, same number of Christians killed in Egypt as those who are killed on church properties in the United States in any given year as well. You may not have heard this, but 29 Christians were killed in Tanta, Egypt this year. Another 29 Christians were killed in Minya, Egypt as well. So in two cases, Christians were killed in Egypt, and in both cases, there were more killed in those instances than those killed in San Antonio, Texas. And I do think, Bill, that we have to be somewhat cautious that we don't just pay attention to the stories in our own backyard. Let's also remember those Christians that are persecuted in other countries as well. We're instructed to do this in Hebrews chapter 13. And one reason for the Worldview in 5 Minutes program that airs each and every day is in order that you, as Christian families, might continue to respect the Hebrews 13 reminder that we be reminded of those Christians that are in chains, those Christians that are suffering for their faith. So again, my friends, these sorts of events occur in other places around the world as well. So let's not be so Americentric. Let's not be so concerned about ourselves as to forget our brothers and sisters in other places around the world. 62 Egyptian Christians killed for their faith so far this year. 75 Christians were killed all at one time in Pakistan in the Easter of 2016, you remember the bomb explosion that went off during an Easter celebration for Protestant church in Pakistan. 75 Christians killed all at one time. I think there were several hundred that were wounded in that terrorist attack. So my friends, let's remember our brothers and sisters that are suffering for their faith at the hands of Muslims or atheists in other places around the world. There were 128 Christians found stabbed to death a few weeks ago in a town in Syria. I'm not sure anybody is aware of that. Hopefully those who have been tuning in to our radio program has heard of these things and is praying for comfort and strength and faith for our brothers and sisters elsewhere. Because, you know, as these events occur, I'm sure there's something of a temptation to fear, Bill, and that's something that we need to avoid. But let's pray for our brothers and sisters that are attacked, whether it be in San Antonio, Texas, or out in Pakistan or down in Syria. There were 314 Christians killed by Muslims so far this year in Egypt, Somalia, Nigeria, Pakistan, Uganda, Sudan, Philippines, Kenya, and Afghanistan. Bill, I think we as Americans think of other nations as those that will be subjected to persecutions, but we are subject to persecution too. The anarchical forces, the satanic forces that are set against the church in America will at times break into churches and bring about some form of destruction of life and property. And so, you know, when this happens, let's just acknowledge. Let's not be surprised. Let's rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is our reward in heaven. But these brothers and sisters in Texas, they're being persecuted for the faith.
They are. And we shouldn't be surprised when that happens. We are surprised in our nation because we have had a history of a peaceful existence by Christians, because we had a Christian foundation, because many of the founding fathers were Christians. But as we see Christianity being removed from our culture, we should not be surprised that there are more and more attacks. And there's an organization called Voice of the Martyrs that people might want to check out to see about the persecution of Christians, or of our brothers and sisters around the world. Founded in 1967 by Richard Wurmbrand, who had been imprisoned for 14 years in the communist Romania for his faith. And so he started Voice of the Martyrs, and it tallies and keeps track of what is happening around the world specifically, and how Christians are being persecuted. And so it allows brothers and sisters to pray for them and to take into account that, hey, this is what's going to happen if you follow Christ. You will be persecuted, either, you know, verbally you'll be persecuted, or physically you might be persecuted.
Our response to this must not be fear. It must be faith, my friends. We need to realize that God has a reason for the persecution that he brings to the church. Indeed, he is here to strengthen our faith. And I hope that persecution in America that is here right now will strengthen the church in Texas and strengthen the church around the world. I think we as Christians need to remember that there is no detente with the world. There is no detente with Satan. When we preach the word of God, them fighting words, and the world is not going to appreciate the Christian in his testimony, in his life. We will be persecuted, my friends. And I think the persecution that is coming, that is right now, right here in America, will be the best thing for the church. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is head of all things to the church, which means that nothing happens in history that will not be for the benefit of his church. Indeed, persecutions will serve well to bring the fakiness down. Those people that are afraid of persecution from the world, those that are taken by the attractions of the world and are affected more by these tribulations, such that they will turn away from the faith, turn away from the church, prove that there was no depth of soil. There was no change of heart. There was no ultimate regenerating force of the Holy Spirit in their lives, and they will walk away from the church. So scandals, persecutions tend to discourage those whose faith is not true, is not authentic. They will walk away from the church because there was no true saving faith there originally. So Jesus is going to use these events for the benefit of his church, to strengthen it, to steel it, to make it stronger in faith, in order that he might more prepare us for what lies ahead. So our response to this must not be paranoia. As people speak of these things, let's be sure we're not responding by the fear of man. We're as safe in the battlefield as we are in bed. We're on our way to heaven. And we fear God first and foremost. The purpose of terrorism is to create fear in the masses. The purpose of these demonic-inspired terrorist events, whether it be Las Vegas or down in San Antonio, Texas, is to inspire fear, my friends. We're supposed to fear the evil. We're supposed to be fearing this or that. But no, not as Christians. As Christians, God forbid that we should fear any of this. We read in Matthew chapter 10, 27, "Whatever I tell you in the dark," Jesus says, "speak in the light. What you hear in the ears, preach out in the housetops. And do not fear those who will kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? Not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." So let's remember, as leaders in the church, not to be afraid. Yes, church leaders receive the death threats. Of course we do. John Piper receives death threats. In fact, there's a little YouTube on how he responds to death threats. It's interesting. It's good. He refers to Matthew 10, 27 and says, hey, God's paying attention to the most inconsequential details of the life of a sparrow and the life of every hair on your head, maybe with the exception of Bill.
Well, he doesn't have to count very high.
Yeah, he doesn't have many hairs to pay attention to. But God is working through this. He's following the inconsequential details. Of course, he's paying attention to our lives. Of course, whatever happens to us according to his will and his purpose. I think of David Wilkerson on the streets of New York. As a gang member comes up to him and says, "I'm going to kill you," he turns to that gang member and says, "Your daddy has to ask my daddy permission first." And that's the faith of the man who's willing to stand before the cartel or stand before the gangs in New York or stand in the public arena and preach against the sins of the day and announce that Jesus Christ is our Savior and he's competent to save us from the absolute most tyrannical sins that have a hold on our lives. So David Wilkerson, of course, gives us a sense of that faith, and a perfect love casts out fear as well. And I think of the other David Wilkerson quote where one of the gangs of New York City steps up to him and says, "I'm going to cut you into 100 pieces. You cut me into 100 pieces. Every piece of my body is going to be crying out, I love you." And see, that's the attitude of the true believer in Christ. It's perfect love that casts out the fear. We fear God over fearing man, and we're not going to respond in fear to these stories. I don't care if you're the church next door to the church where there was this severe attack. You still need to show up the next Sunday morning and praise God and worship God and preach the word of God with all of the zeal and all of the conviction of your heart and preach it from the housetops. Doesn't matter who you're going to offend. Preach the gospel, preach sin, and preach the saving grace of Jesus Christ in saving us from these sins. Yes, the devil will oppose it. Yes, the world will oppose it. And yes, there will be persecution and pushback. But continue preaching the word of God for all that you're worth and trust in the mighty work of the sword of the Spirit of God accomplishing great things in the hearts of men. This focus upon guns, this focus upon the sword, this focus upon physical defense is not a good focus to the extent that we negate the power of the Word of God. Man, if you have a choice between preaching the Word of God and reading the Word of God and bringing the Word of God to bear versus remembering to grab your gun on a Sunday morning, let's go with the Word first. Bring the Word of God first. And okay, if you remember to pick up your .45, pick it up and throw it in your bag. That's all right. I'm not opposed to that.
Make sure you pick up your 66 first. But 67, yeah.
Make sure you pick up the 66. Yeah, the 66 books of the Word of God first and foremost. You know, Jesus did say, go get a sword. They said, we have two. He said, that's enough. And then somebody slices off the ear of the servant of the high priest. Jesus heals the ear and says, he who lives by the sword dies by the sword. So Jesus is a bit ambivalent as to the use of the sword. He doesn't put a heavy emphasis on the use of the sword. Yes, there's a role for defending life, and yes, the church security teams should engage, but if over-concern with safety interferes with anybody worshiping with God's people on a Sunday morning, that's an issue. That's a problem, man. Everybody needs to participate in the worship. Otherwise, our security takes precedence over God's worship, and that's no good. So we're okay with the pilgrims carrying their guns to church, no problem with that, but to fixate on personal defense over the preaching of the Word of God, which is 1,000 times more powerful than any kind of a nuclear bomb that you bring to church, to focus more so on personal defense than the preaching of the Word of God is faithlessness. Nehemiah 4:14 does express the importance of family defense, and that's good. But if people won't go to church because they're afraid of violence, that's a problem, Bill. Then they shouldn't get into a car, because you're 530 times more likely to be killed in a car than killed in a church. 530 times more likely to be killed in a car than killed in a church. And by the way, if you're afraid to go to church on a Sunday morning because you're afraid of getting shot, then you shouldn't go anywhere near water, because you're 50 times more likely to drown in any given year than to be killed in a church. So don't go near the water, and don't climb into the car. You better just walk to church if you're so concerned about your life. Now, one thing is for sure. God has the hairs on your head numbered. He's watching each and every one of them. He understands when every sparrow falls, and only falls at his command. And so if in his providence somebody's going to come to your church and do damage, it is because God ordained it to happen. Settle that in your mind first and foremost, and realize that it will be for the benefit of the Church of Jesus Christ. It will be for the salvation of souls. It will be for the advancement of his kingdom, man, because God is in control and Jesus Christ is head over all things to the church.
And Jesus said, you know, blessed are you when men persecute you and revile you for my name's sake. And he went on to say, they did that to the prophets. Now, most Christians in this country say, Lord, please don't bless me so much. But in other countries, they look at persecution differently than we do. Mm-hmm. They see it as the natural outflowing of the declaration that they belong to Christ, that they will be persecuted. And we should take lessons from those who have experienced that persecution and be reminded that there is joy even in the troubling times, because we have faith in Christ. We don't operate from a position of fear. If you operate from a position of fear, you can never win. Mm-hmm. If you operate from a position of faith, your position will never be defeated. It doesn't mean that you will win. It means that your position will never be defeated.
This is how we overcome the world, by faith. Well, and one final comment before we're done, and that is, sadly, about half of the victims at the San Antonio church killings were children. But I think our families should be far more concerned about the killing of our children in public schools, the killing of our children spiritually, by worldviews and by teachers that do not acknowledge the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. That's far more concerning, far more concerning. Jesus said you should fear rather him who can destroy body and soul in hell fire versus him who can kill only the body. So as Christian pastors, as Christian parents, let's be far, far more concerned about those who are killing their children. I'm talking about people who attend Christian churches and yet will kill their children. They will kill their children spiritually. They will see to it that their children remain dead spiritually under the influence of pop media, because that's far more prevalent today, far more prevalent than it is for the 70 or so that are killed in churches by these physical attacks. We should be so much more concerned about the killing of children, those who offend at children, those who put stumbling blocks before children. Jesus said it'd be better for you that a millstone be hanged around your neck and you be drowned at the bottom of the sea. This is a wake-up call for America. That's for sure. What happened in Texas is a wake-up call to America. It's time to stop sentencing our children to death and hell forever by setting them at the feet of those that will give them an atheistic, materialistic worldview in public schools or with the pop media. Friends, be so much more careful spiritually to give your children a raising in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And that ends this edition of the Generations Broadcast. I encourage you to give your children our family Bible study guides. on the book of Proverbs, the book of Psalms, the book of Genesis and Matthew, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Friday, November 10th, AD 2017. This is the Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Chinese Christian human rights lawyer Gao Zhenjing has been missing following his rearrest by state officers after he escaped house arrest in August, reports International Christian Concern. After two of Zhenjing's friends helped him escape, the Chinese authorities captured and tortured both of them, cruelly blinding one of them. Please pray for Zhenjing as he has already suffered torture and years of imprisonment for his human rights work, and his treatment is expected to only get worse. Psalm 20, verse 1 says, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you." Meanwhile, President Donald Trump visited Beijing yesterday on a state visit. Trump met with Chinese President Xi Jinping. Both agreed to work together for the denuclearization of North Korea. The two leaders also reportedly signed a $250 billion trade deal. Trump was welcomed warmly and praised President Jinping. No mention, though, of China's persecution of Christians. Over the last century, the Orthodox Christian population around the world has more than doubled, but has only decreased as a percentage of the Christian population worldwide, from 20% in 1910 to 12% in 2010, according to Pew Research. Meanwhile, Protestants and Catholics have grown in percentage, and while Orthodox Christians are still located primarily in Europe, 77% currently, Protestants and Catholics have expanded enormously beyond the continent. As of 2013, 48.9% of New Zealand's population identified with Christianity, down from 55.6% in 2006. In October, the country swore in its 40th prime minister, 37-year-old agnostic Jacinda Ardern, the youngest woman to lead the country. Ardern did not place her hand on the Bible, nor say, "So help me God," in the ceremony. And just recently, the new Speaker of the House adapted the prayer at the beginning of every session to no longer include the phrase, quote, "through Jesus Christ our Lord," end quote, at the end. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 instructs, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." A former abortionist testified in front of a congressional committee last week on a bill to ban abortions at 6 weeks of pregnancy. Dr. Kathy Altman shared how she used to murder babies but became a pro-life OBGYN. Altman said the unborn should be considered as persons.
"We know from a scientific standpoint that the baby in the womb is a human being and not just a blob of tissue. Earth changes nothing but the baby's environment. What justification do we have to deny them personhood and human rights until after their birth?"
Altman described her previous practices as mass murder.
"I love to meet adults that I have delivered, but it's always bittersweet because I'm reminded of all the people I will never meet because I aborted them. It also reminds me that I am a mass murderer."
Altman also condemned our culture of death.
"We have moved farther away from the idea that life is precious and closer to the utilitarian attitudes that destroyed so many lives during the last century. More and more, we are embracing a culture of death that only values the strong and healthy."
Alabama Republican nominee for U.S. Senate Roy Moore denied a recent claim of sexual misconduct by an Alabama woman named Lee Korfman. Korfman told the Washington Post the incident occurred in 1979 when she was 14. The Moore campaign called the allegation, quote, a desperate political attack by the National Democrat Party and the Washington Post on this campaign, end quote. Moore said, quote, "We are in the midst of a spiritual battle with those who want to silence our message," end quote. U.S. Senate Republicans revealed a tax plan yesterday with key differences from the House of Representatives version. Senators proposed 7 tax brackets, eliminating state and local deductions for individuals and cutting the corporate tax to 20% in 2019. Also, Republican House leadership restored the adoption tax credit to their plan after pro-life groups protested its removal. Following the largest church shooting in American history, stay tuned to hear the unique perspective of the pastor from another small Texan church. He'll share his thoughts on security measures, as well as offer his best theological answers to this troubling tragedy. It's all coming up after today's newscast in my Worldview special report. And finally, over $1.3 million has been raised through GoFundMe for the victims of Sunday's church shooting in Sutherland Springs, Texas. Most of the funds have been raised for the Holcomb family, who lost several generations of family members in the shooting, including Brian Holcomb, who was the guest pastor. Brian's father, Joe Holcomb, said, quote, "God will see us through. We'll all be together soon," end quote. And that's the Worldview in 5 minutes on this Friday, November 10th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for a Worldview special report. I'm Adam McManus. In light of the shooting at First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, this past Sunday, which took the lives of 27 and injured 20, Pastor Brett Becker of Quest Church in New Braunfels, Texas, which averages 60 attendees, had a unique take.
Being a new church start from day one, a year and a half ago, we had plans in place for security measures, different things to protect our kids as well as the adults too. When I have responsible, mature Christians that I know have a concealed carry permit, I definitely encourage them to carry for the prevention of this exact kind of situation.
Pastor Becker told the Worldview that the notion of preparedness comes directly from a fuller understanding of the Sixth Commandment.
I'm a huge fan of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. In regard to the Sixth Commandment, to not murder, it asks the question, what is required in the Sixth Commandment? The answer, the Sixth Commandment requires all lawful endeavors to preserve our own life and the life of others. So I think equipping our people to handle emergency situations, including those who would intend great evil, is a wise thing to prepare for.
Pastor Becker cited two of his favorite theologians as he attempted to theologically explain to the Worldview the abhorrent violation of the sacred space of the House of God in Sutherland Springs, Texas.
My favorite theologian, R.C. Sproul, says that while evil is a problem for the Christian, it's a greater problem for the atheists, because how can you describe evil without making some type of reference to good and to God? We struggle with the presence of evil in the universe of a God who is all-powerful and all-good. Sometimes we don't have all the answers in this life. The great preacher C.H. Spurgeon said in issues like this, when we cannot trace God's hand, we are simply to trust his heart. It's a matter of trust and faith. We'll get a fuller understanding of evil and how that interacts with God's sovereignty on the other side in heaven.
Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted." May God Almighty be the rock for the victims and the families of the Sutherland Springs shooting. This has been a Worldview special report. I'm Adam McManus. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.